Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor and power and glory and praise forever and ever. Dear brothers and sisters of Jesus, in heaven, they get how glory works and they know what it looks like. Of course they do. In heaven, heaven is nicknamed eternal glory, so they know what it looks like up there. And at least as far as the Bible describes it for us, here's what it looks like. Glory in heaven. There are four creatures, otherworldly creatures who look amazing, and they are gathered in a circle. And behind those four otherworldly creatures are 24 church leaders sitting on thrones, also in a circle. So you got your 24 church leaders, four otherworldly creatures, and outside of them is 100 million angels. 100 million angels. So try to wrap your mind around that number. That's every American who lives west of the Mississippi River in one crowd, in a circle. Four otherworldly creatures, 24 church leaders, 100 million angels, and they're all screaming about glory. They're all screaming the whole time. And if that wasn't loud enough, then every Christian who's ever lived and every animal who's ever lived, they all shout along with that crowd. That's glory, according to the Bible. And I think the largest crowd I've ever been a member of was about 90,000 at a sports game, and that was loud. Can you imagine what it sounds like at the center of that circle in heaven with 100 million angels plus all the people? That's glory. And at the center of that circle, the attention of all that praise and glory is a throne. And on the throne is standing a lamb with his throat slit, a lamb looking as though it has been slain. Because in heaven, they get how glory works, and they get what it looks like. And so this killed, this victim, this sacrificed animal receives all their glory. And this is what they sing. They're singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." On earth, we like to cheer for undefeated teams. And on earth, we like to point our spotlights at winners and victors. But in heaven, they get how glory works. And so they praise and glorify a sacrifice. They know that glory comes through sacrifice. And Jesus knew it too. Jesus knew that glory comes through sacrifice. He preached it all the time. He preached this. He preached, "The last shall be first." Right? Sacrifice gives someone else first place. He preached, "Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." You sacrifice something. This is true glory in God's kingdom. Jesus knew that glory comes through sacrifice, and we know it too. It makes sense in a certain way. It makes sense when we hear what Jesus said. We know that unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. We know this. We learn it when we're little toddlers helping out in the garden. And we shake out seeds into our hand and we look at them and they look dead, brown, and kind of shriveled up. And we see the seeds and we pick one out and we bury it like you would a dead person. You bury that seed and then that one gets all your attention. Little toddlers will squat down in the garden and just look and wait for this fabulous thing that God has engineered into every spring where new life comes from the dead and buried seed. And until I read this passage, I don't think I ever felt so bad. I don't think I ever felt so sad for the seeds that are still in the bag on the shelf in the garage. Who would want to be one of those? They don't get to be productive. They don't get to be part of the harvest, and they don't get all the attention and all the eyes on them. That's how glory works. And it kind of makes sense to us because that's what glory looks like. Jesus knew that. And so when some Greek people came to Jerusalem 3 days before Jesus died, they came looking for Jesus. And it says they were looking for Jesus, and immediately his mind goes to the time when all eyes will be looking at Jesus, the thing that will make him famous and make him glorious, the most fabulous thing about Jesus, when he will sacrifice himself. Jesus has no intention of being a seed left in the bag in the garage. He wants to be the seed that dies, that goes into the ground, buried, and that ceases to be a seed, but explodes outward and gives birth to new life. That's what Jesus wants to be. He doesn't have any intention of being a lamb happily hopping through the field. He's going to be the lamb who was slain, the lamb who is sacrificed, so that you and I could have our sins forgiven and have eternal life in heaven. That's Jesus' intention, because he knows that glory comes through sacrifice. It's just, it makes sense about a seed, it makes sense about Jesus, but it's just harder when it gets personal, when it's your sacrifice. But Jesus, he makes it personal. He said, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Let's not get Jesus wrong. He's not promoting self-harm or suicide. He doesn't want you to be hopeless about your life. He doesn't want you to be hopeless, but he does want you to think about your relationship to this world and your life in this world. Do you still think that a Mercedes-Benz holds some sort of promise for you? Do I still think that the kind of phone that I have in my pocket makes some great difference for my life? Do we still think that the big goal of this whole world is that more people would like me or more people would listen to me? Yeah. Jesus knows that in one way or another, at some of the times, we all think like that. We all fall in love with this world and this world's blessings. But glory for the Son of Man, it's not like being the most popular girl in school. Glory in God's book, it's not like holding up a championship trophy. Now, you know what glory is like. It's like a kernel of wheat that falls to the ground, and unless it falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. And you can fall in love with this world and all the delicious blessings that it has to offer. It's just that you'll lose them. You'll lose them. And you compare these earthly blessings over against what Jesus has won for you. What Jesus has already won for you with his sacrifice. He went into the ground so that he could bear more fruit, and you are that fruit he has won for you with his death and his resurrection. Eternal life, a life that starts right now and it's fulfilled and it's filled with things for you to do and joys for you to have, and it doesn't end. It extends on into eternity. And you compare this life to the life that Jesus won for you, and you say, boy, I would hate to make my world all about this life. I would hate to be a seed stuck in the garage, never sacrificing, never productive, never glorious. I would hate this life. And Jesus says, whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's what you do, dear Christian friends, don't you? You want to be with Jesus. More than anything else, in your heart of hearts, you want to be with Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus said about people who serve him. He said, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one that serves me. You're attached at the hip to the Savior of the world. He suffered, and in this life, so will you. He died, and in this world, so will you. He sacrificed, and in this world, so will you. Not to pay for your sins. Jesus took care of that. But you will sacrifice for Jesus because you love him so much. To celebrate the forgiveness that he has won for you, you will sacrifice, and it will be inconvenient and painful. But here's the thing. Through all of our sacrifices on this earth, we are side by side with Jesus, who knows what that's like. That's what glory looks like. His glory comes through sacrifice. Gerald knew that. Gerald was a 60-year-old man living down in Texas, lived out in the country. Usually took him about 15 minutes to drive into the city where he worked. But today, it took him 30 minutes because there was a nasty storm with lightning and driving rain. And so it took him twice as long to drive his pickup into town where he worked. And that storm with the rain, it also ruined the day. It ruined the day of a young woman, 35 years old, who was an ambitious young woman driving past Gerald's house. Ambitious, ahead of the curve of most of her peers. She was moving up in the world, and she was actually driving into town, not to work, but to take some classes to advance her career. And it turns out that in her class at the university in town, one of her classmates was a man who would end up becoming a Wells pastor. He's a friend of mine. And this Wells pastor would witness to her about Jesus and tell this woman, Jesus died on the cross. He sacrificed like a seed who goes into the ground, and he did it so that there could be new life and hope for people like you and me. And this woman just couldn't get it. She said, that's a hideous truth, that a man would kill or go to his own death willingly, that God the Father would sacrifice his own son. That's not beautiful. That's hideous. I don't get it. And so my pastor friend would witness to her and said, I'm going to keep telling you about it. I'm going to keep praying for you that someday you get it, because I think it's beautiful. But he didn't ever make much progress with her until the day when there was a nasty storm with driving rain, and this young woman was driving past Gerald's house, and her Mustang hydroplaned and veered off the road into the ditch, and her car tires started sinking down into the mud, and her boots did too, and so she had to tromps up to the front door and knock, and Gerald's wife answered, invited her in, and gave her some coffee. And she put her whole morning on hold for this young woman. And she called into Gerald, who was at work, took him twice as long to get in, and said, honey, you got to come home. Bring your pickup truck. We're going to pull a young woman out of our front driveway. And Gerald thought about all the work that he would have to put off, all the meetings he would miss, the time you'd have to put in late at night or on the weekend to make up for the whole morning that he was about to leave. And he said into the phone, what would you say? Are you remembering, like Gerald did, that anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life? Gerald got in his pickup truck, drove back home, attached the tow rope. They pulled her out. They sat down for lunch. And Gerald and his wife told this woman that they were Christians, and that's why they did it, that they love Jesus, and they were reflecting that love to her. And think of all the things they missed out on. They died that day, Gerald and his wife. Not their physical bodies, but they laid down and they died. They put their priorities to death for the sake of that woman, and they put their own goals for the day into the grave that day. They buried them. And it bore a seed. It bore a seed, their sacrifice. Because that woman, when she got back on the road, she made it into class, and she went up to her Wells pastor friend and said, I think I get it. I think I'm starting to get it, why God would do that. It's that everything God does for us is unconditional. That was her word, unconditional. That's exactly right. Gerald and his wife, they sacrificed that day. They sacrificed their morning, and it bore a seed. That's glory. I don't think they ever got to hear about how it ended. I don't know if they ever met that woman again or knew that she came around to the gospel. I don't know if they know that, but I do know that when they get to heaven, God our Father will take Gerald by one hand and his wife by the other hand and hold them up and say, these ones, they serve me. They love me. That's what Jesus told us, that my Father will honor the one who serves me. That's glorious, but it's not easy. It's not easy. It wasn't even easy for Jesus. Jesus was true God, and so he knew that glory comes through sacrifice. He knew that, but he was also true man, which means that it hurt him when he had to sacrifice just as much as it hurts you and me. And as he looked ahead to the end of the week when he would be suffering and dying for the sins of the world, he knew he would be sacrificing a lot. I've heard people who fall in love with this world, and I've said it too, they say things like, I don't need everything, but I just want to be comfortable. Well, Jesus sacrificed his comfort when he was beaten and whipped and nailed to a cross. For people who fall in love with this world, and I've been guilty of this thought too, who say that what really matters, the most important thing is that you're healthy. But Jesus, he sacrificed his health when he was asphyxiated on the cross. I've heard people who fall in love with this world say, even if everything else is going wrong, you got loving friendships, you'll be okay. But Jesus sacrificed those friendships as his friends abandoned him and betrayed him and disowned him. I've heard people say that, you know, at least you always have your family. And yet Jesus sacrificed even that. As he had an eternal bond with the Father, better than any father-son relationship you can imagine. It goes back infinity years, and it's always been perfect, and yet it was severed on the cross as the Father abandoned the Son out of love for you and me. Jesus sacrificed everything that day, and it hurt him. He said he was troubled by it. If there was anything about this world that Jesus was clinging to, anything about comfort on this earth that he wanted and prized, he would have run the other way from that cross. He would have turned tail and headed back to Galilee. Do you remember what he prayed that day as he was troubled by the sacrifices ahead of him? Do you remember what he prayed? He said, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? Oh, how often is that my prayer when God is asking some sacrifice of me? God, save me from this. Don't make me do it. No, Jesus said. No, it was for this very reason that I came to Holy Week. It was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. This is the prayer of a Christian. This is the prayer of your Christ. Father, glorify your name. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing with his whole life. This was the purpose of his life. This is the purpose of his death, to fulfill God's glorious plan to save sinners through sacrifice. That's glorious in God's book. To save you and me. God said it was glorious. Because then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. When God created the world, that was glorious. When he split the Red Sea in two so the Israelites could walk through, that was glorious. When he did miracles through Jesus' life, that was glorious. But this death of his son, this is his crowning glory. Because with that moment, Jesus, he won. He won against all our worst enemies. Sin and evil have been wreaking havoc on the world. Flip the news on tonight, you'll see. Evil has been tearing up this world, and you and I are part of it. And on that cross, Jesus did away with evil and somehow miraculously found a way to save you and me in the process. The devil has been behind that evil. The devil has had the world in a headlock ever since the Garden of Eden. And yet on this day when Jesus died on the cross, he got into the ring with the devil or the octagon or whatever picture you want to pick, and he chokeslammed him out of the ring. That's what the Bible says. It says, Jesus says, now is the time for judgment on this world where all the evil is condemned. And now the prince of this world, that is the devil, the prince of this world will be driven out. Jesus won a glorious victory on that day when he sacrificed his life. And in heaven, they know that. In heaven, they gather in a big circle and they see a lamb who was sacrificed. And they say, glory, this is glory. In heaven, they see Jesus dying on the cross and they say, victory. How about you? Amen. Please stand.
Hey,
thank you so much for checking out some of the content from Mount Olive Church. If you liked what you saw today, we would love it if you would subscribe to our YouTube channel or over on Spotify, subscribe to get Sermon Podcast Weekly. Also, if you checked out our sermon today, go over to mountoliveappleton.com and sign the friendship register so we know that you were blessed by our work today. God's blessings to you.